Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Maggie. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome to 2015. We have, I hope, a good year of poems ahead of us.
Absolutely. Lots of great stuff out there to talk about.
Well, good. Today you've picked an interesting one. I think that we've all had to deal with non-traumatic shoulder pain, and I'll get to the exact topic in a second. But clearly the majority of patients who present to primary care doctors with shoulder pain have some sort of intrinsic disorder, and it's not traumatic. You know, obviously the trauma goes to the ED. Acute symptoms, usually defined as less than 2 weeks in patients with recent trauma, are typically due to a acromioclavicular separation, a glenohumeral dislocation, sometimes a rotator cuff tear. Also, don't forget that significant medical problems like cardiac ischemia and hepatobiliary disease and perhaps splenic disease can present with shoulder pain, also pancreatic disease. Anyways, when we go to diagnose the shoulder pain, we want to look at the shoulder, palpate it, and perhaps not the topic for today, but to do some sort of an imaging study. The standard history, looking at onset, duration, palliation, quality, location, all those things can be very helpful in trying to figure out what causes shoulder pain as well as what makes the pain worse. And remember that it's not just the pain, obviously. It may be activities such as lifting or leisure activities such as sports. Older patients much more commonly have shoulder pain. I think you and I, Mark, are getting to be older, at least according to the medical definition that I found was over the age of 50.
Hey, I live in a college town. I feel, you know, I'm older than most of the people I see by far. Yeah,
no, we do as well here in Davis, California. My wife and I always joke about, you know, that people come and help us cross the street because they've never seen anybody quite our age. Anyways, once you've made the diagnosis and you're ready to move to treatment, and assuming that it's not traumatic, the question becomes what sort of treatment? And, you know, there are the NSAIDs, but today a poem asks a very interesting question. It's taken from the Annals of Internal Medicine from 2014. It starts on page 161. It's a volume 161, and it starts on page 161. The question is corticosteroid injection more effective than physical therapy in the management of these non-traumatic shoulder pains? So we've got somebody, now we're trying to decide, are we going to inject them or are we going to send them to PT? What did they find, Mark?
Yeah, this study was, as you said, in Annals of Internal Medicine, which is a pretty big deal journal, and they only had 104 patients in it, but I think the strengths were that they asked a really important question. This was, you know, this is a something we face all the time with these patients. Do we inject them? Do we send them to PT? What's going to be most likely to help them? And I think another strength was that they followed them for a year. Most of these studies of injections follow people for a month or two. Rarely do they go out a year. So they had 104 patients who were referred for physical therapy from either a primary care or an ortho clinic. And they all had shoulder pain, non-traumatic, no evidence of a tear. They didn't have any radiculopathy symptoms. And they were all loosely defined, sort of clinically diagnosed as shoulder impingement syndrome. You know, it hurts when I lift my arm up above, you know, shoulder height, 90 degrees. They were mostly guys, mean age was 42 years, so actually a somewhat younger group than you might expect. They were randomized to get either six twice-weekly sessions of physical therapy or up to three subacromial injections, and they were using triamcinolone 40 milligrams over the course of a year. And the PT was the usual things, mobilization, stretching, exercising. Home exercises were all also prescribed and I'm sure widely ignored. Patients in both groups got better pretty quickly, which was good. There was about a 50% improvement in pain and function measured by this shoulder pain and disability index after a month, and that was maintained for the next 11 months. So the good news is people got quite a bit better quite quickly in both groups. The bad news is they didn't get much better after that. And of a typical patient in both groups still had some pain or disability at the end of a year. For the injection group, only about 40% had more than one injection. So this was mostly one injection versus about 12 sessions of PT. So both patients got better. You almost wonder how many would have gotten better without doing anything a month later. And the typical score doesn't, a pain score doesn't improve that much over the course of the subsequent year. And I think it's important that we let patients know, kind of as a bottom line, that none of these is a silver bullet. They both seem to improve outcomes significantly after a month. But then beyond that, they may expect disability, and maybe you can use that as a stick to encourage, adherence to exercises and strengthening.
Right. I mean, I guess there are two questions that I have. One is there data that these exercises and strengthening really work for the vast majority of shoulder pain?
Yeah. I have not seen really well done trials of physical therapy versus nothing. And usually, the physical therapy versus nothing, there's kind of a Hawthorne effect, kind of a placebo effect, an optimistic bias. There are lots of reasons why patients who are sent to physical therapy may want to believe that it was helpful or worthwhile. I don't think we really have the answer. I agree, it would have been nice to have a no treatment or a send them home with some NSAIDs kind of group as well.
Yeah, that was my second question, is why, with a well-done study like this, didn't they have either a sham injection arm or, as you say, a no-treatment arm or an NSAID with exercise arm or something?
The studies have, I think that probably because, the data are fairly limited on the efficacy of NSAIDs, I don't think there's any really good evidence that they, speed improvement over doing nothing. And I think they probably felt that PT and injections were both somewhat effective, and they wanted to see which one was more effective. And it turns out they're roughly the same.
Right, right. Although it does leave us with that lingering question of what would happen if you did nothing. Anyways, thanks, Mark. Interesting thing. I think that all of us see lots of patients with shoulder problems, and this is helpful. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.